Friday morning, and you know what that means. It's time for another episode of the Alabama Slam Podcast. I'm your host, Corey Hanna.
And I'm Steven.
And we are without Patrick today. He's on daddy duty tonight. He's got some sick kiddos, so we hope they recover soon.
I thought we had lost him in the transfer.
The transfer portal.
He's floating in the internet somewhere.
Yeah, we're going to need him back. We need those kiddos well for next week, because we're going to have a super big episode next week with post WrestleMania.
One SmackDown, two WrestleMania nights, one Collision, one Raw.
Yeah, and the Monday after Mania Raw, so yeah. There's probably a lot happening. I guess I'll try to watch Collision Sunday morning, because it looks like there's going to be some decent matches, but I'm not going to try to watch it after
11:30.
It's 10:30 Central, but still.
But even still, I mean, how bad do you want to lose viewers?
Because at first I was like, why are they doing that? And then I realized it was because of basketball. But I was like, could y'all not just wait and do it?
Friday.
Is it a contractual thing? Yeah, I don't understand. But we don't have to get into that. Let's go ahead and get into, we've got a whole lot of stuff to cover. We've actually pared down the things we were going to talk about, because we want to run down the WrestleMania card before we're done. So, and some of the stuff we had listed was from last week's Dynamite, but we didn't get to record on Tuesday. So at this point, it's almost 2 weeks old. But my first note from SmackDown, and Steven didn't see this, so it's just going to be real brief, but it looked like Pete Dunne almost killed a man that night.
From what I remember, they were supposed to be fighting the LWO.
Yeah, just one of the moves he put on the guy just looked like it was so brutal. I barely remember any of the names of the moves. I'm a terrible wrestling fan. But
was this like a diver, or was this like one of his submission ones?
It was almost like a Spanish fly, but it was more brutal. And it was, Pete Dunne is quickly becoming one of my favorites to watch in WWE.
I'm glad to have him back as the Bruiserweight. I enjoyed the little detour they took with him being the Brawling Brutes Butch kind of thing, where he was the scrappy nut job. But
sure.
Pete Dunne he's savage.
Yeah, he's fun to watch. And more, I would say he's more of the style that I prefer to watch, based on the fact that I like most of the AEW matches better than the WWE matches. But, you know, that's another story for another day. The other thing I had, too, that I wanted to mention was WWE letting LA Knight down?
Now, I saw this because I watched a clip of this one, where he had the dude hidden, and then he pops out as the ring crew.
That was fun. But I'm just talking about this whole storyline with him and AJ, and he's even kind of said, like, this isn't going to be the match I was expecting for Mania, or whatever, however he worded it. But do you think they're playing a longer game with him?
I do. And we'll kind of get into this when we get to Mania. I don't think Logan Paul doesn't leave WrestleMania without that belt. So I think this is keeping him active with somebody that he can build off of to let him jump in later. Because I think they want the Logan Paul pop
for a little while longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't see how he doesn't have some sort of title, be it mid-card or what, by this time.
I realize I probably should have done AEW first, because we don't have as much to talk about there. So let's go ahead and do that. Well, I know we just went through SmackDown, but let's get through
short notes on SmackDown anyway.
Yeah, we didn't have much there. We got a few for Raw, so let's do the AEW stuff next, and then we'll get back into Raw and our rundown for WrestleMania. So
you had the surprise.
Yeah, Collision started off with a bang on Saturday night. If you didn't see it, Matt Cardona was in the Cope Open.
And I saw his tweet about this, and how this has been a match he has wanted for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
Where it's just the cards have never kind of laid out right. So I'm glad he got to have this. I love when he was Zack Ryder and just doing his internet champion crap and just his little in jokes and his video stuff of him climbing fences and people going, "What you doing? I'm getting over." You know, it's just stupid ass stuff. I've got a soft spot for the Long Island Express there.
Yeah, that was fun to watch. I don't know much about him because he was let go right around the time I started watching.
I want to say COVID is when I think he dipped out.
Yeah, and I just started not long before that. So.
Had a blink and you miss it run with the IC championship.
Yeah. But, you know, he's had a very nice indie career after that. He's won basically every championship that's out there. And he did a brief stint with AEW. You know, even then when he came in, he's like, "Hey, I'm only doing like 6 appearances."
I don't even remember that. Jeez.
Yeah, that was around COVID.
Okay.
It was... He and Cody had a little thing.
But then again, I watched the Bray Wyatt documentary the other day, and I had forgotten Cody was his mentor in NXT. So,
wow. Yeah, I finally watched the Cody documentary the other night. Becoming Cody Rhodes. I finally watched it. So, I've got to watch the Bray one next.
But I love seeing him. I mean, the rest of that show,
Yeah, that was the only note I made. I mean, the rest of the show was fine, but that was a nice pop early in the show. We do have some more notes from Dynamite, though. I'm wearing my Orange Cassidy shirt today.
Yeah. Sad day for
Orange Cassidy. Didn't see that one coming on the turn from Trent last
really?
Night.
I mean, he's been acting kind of shady for the last few. I mean, if you've noticed it.
Yeah. I mean, I say I didn't see it coming, but like, I just didn't want to believe it would happen.
I gotcha. What was hilarious was watching Chuck Taylor's reaction to it, where he's trying to sell confusion. All he's selling is, am I still in the ring?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it was, I don't know, maybe it was a weird night to do it or not because Sue was there. I don't know.
So besides his turning, what'd you think of this match? Because I teased in our text that I might say something nice about AEW today.
I thought it was a good match. I mean,
because I hate their tag team matches, because especially when the Bucks are involved, because it is just fast paced, high risk, high impact moves.
Sure.
No payoff till we get to the allotted time limit, the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that the show started. I love the start of this show, the Powerhouse Hobbs and Will Ospreay match. That is what I want in wrestling, because it was deliberate in how it did it. It wasn't all the flashy spots. They took time to show the various things that happened. I have some beefs with it, but it. I loved that match. I don't think the rest of AEW fans loved it as much as I do, because it wasn't an AEW match, though. But
I didn't figure it would be. I figured they would do something different with Hobbs versus Ospreay instead of the usual Ospreay match, right? I figured they would do something different. Mm-hmm. And I knew that you were going to have beef with it when even the commentators were like, "Yeah, Aubrey Edwards is giving them a little bit of a grace period on this."
See, that's the thing. That wasn't even this match.
It was. No, it wasn't.
It was not even this match.
No, it wasn't. You're right.
But
that was the daddy ass and Jay White.
The abortion that was that match.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I skipped ahead. We were talking, that show starts with Edge and talking. We had some CM Punk drama this week that led into a AEW response.
Yeah, you know, and Cody even talked about it. He was asked about it on the show, on Ariel's show the next day, or the 2 days after, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot going on there. And Cody said nice things about AEW. You know, but Punk is going to ruffle feathers. Yep. Like Patrick said in the group text, he was like, "I'll take everything that Punk says with a grain of salt."
I agree. There's his version. There's going to be Tony's version. There's going to be Jack's version. There's going to be the Bucks version.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the middle of all those is probably where the truth lies.
Yeah. Conrad Thompson asked Tony Schiavone about it on his podcast this week. And Schiavone was like, I don't give a crap. He's like, I don't want to talk about it. He was like, you know, he was like, and then you could tell he was about to say something and he was like holding his breath for a second. And he was like, "No, whatever. I don't want to talk about this shit."
He seems like he is. I love him to death, but at times he just seems like he's having the time of his life, but at the same time, so damn miserable.
I wonder if he's in, if he's, he needs surgery. Like the way he carries himself, have you noticed? Like he's always got his neck kind of to the side.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder if he needs, if he's in some sort of physical pain.
He could be. He just seems, anytime he's up there with somebody, it's like a borderline. I'm happy to be here, but also I'd really like to not be here.
Yeah. I started to, it's funny you say that, because I started to point it out when I was watching the show last night, because I've noticed it the last few weeks, but I was like, it just seemed like it was maybe a little more, I don't know. I feel like he's probably uncomfortable.
The Edge promo, so I thought he was solid on what he was doing. I get what he was saying. There's some lies in what he said. I mean, he didn't come there to wrestle Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay came there afterwards. Yeah. I mean, some of the people he named not there when he signed up.
Maybe the sentiment. He came there to wrestle people like a Will Ospreay, you know? But yeah, you're right. He was not very truthful in that part.
But if you're going to end that promo with, this is where the best in the world wrestle, you got to have a stronger show.
The show was okay. It wasn't their best. It's better than some in the previous weeks, but
the main event, quote unquote, and that should not have been in the main event, but
no,
we'll get to that in a few here.
The main events have been strange lately,
but I'll talk about that in a moment.
Yeah. The Edge rant was okay. It seemed a little forced.
I get it.
But also, like, they, you know, it probably boosted the hell out of the locker room in the back.
Oh, and that's what it's designed to do. I mean, he's trying to get them psyched. It was a good way for him to kind of establish it's us versus them kind of thing, but still saying, hey, look, all wrestling is great. But it still gives them that scrappy ECW kind of vibe of, we are going to do some stuff that you're going to be amazed with.
Right. Did you get everything in you wanted to talk, or did you want to do the Ospreay powerhouse more?
Yeah, that because we were talking about the Audrey stuff. It drives me crazy when she is sitting there yelling at him to what is the point of even doing countouts at this point? Because if she comes out of the ring and is chasing them down, and she's yelling at them to quit beating each other up on the stairs, on the tables, on the edge of the aprons, or whatever, all she has to do is go inside and count to 10. There's a legitimate way for her to be able to bring the action back inside of the ring. And it's like the stupidest thing, because then it's like, oh crap, now they're outside the ring again. Now I'm going to count to 10 when they're not doing the stuff I really don't want them to do. I just, need to move time along.
Yeah. I mean, it is problematic. It's the same thing as like when FTR joined, they're like, hey, we're bringing fucking tag ropes because tag ropes apparently don't exist in AEW. And they, I feel like they've probably even gotten away from using those lately, but sometimes it's a little chaotic. I don't know what to tell you.
but I enjoyed this match, except for that, the little stupidities in it. I like the story they're telling with the Don Callis calling, Will Ospreay the Golden Goose, and them trying to put over where you put somebody else ahead. And it's okay. Do you think back when I forget who was it? Was it Phil, what's his name, that was in the coach for the Bulls back when?
Jackson.
Phil Jackson. Do you think he was in there going, yeah, Scottie Pippen, he's the Golden Goose? Or is he going, yeah, Michael Jordan's the Golden Goose, and you're pretty damn good too?
Yeah, yeah. I wonder, surely they got to get Ospreay done with the Don Callis family sooner rather than later.
But I want to point out something that I pointed out to you when we were at the live show, when they showed the Don Callis Last Supper.
Oh, yeah.
Will Hobbs is in the place of Judas.
That's true. That's true.
So I think we're building to it.
Your next note says, can I say that Jay White has made a mistake yet?
Can I?
Man, I don't know what they're doing with him.
I can tell you what they're doing with him. They're making him look like crap. This was one of the hottest free agents. This was the person that was, everybody was so psyched to get in here, and he just got jobbed to a 60-year-old in a shit match.
Yeah, it's a little aggravating, because I like watching the guy wrestle a lot. I just don't know. Like, why isn't he at least in the hunt for the TNT title? He doesn't have to go after the main title just yet. Like, he hasn't been, I mean, he's been, at this point, he has been in AEW for a while. Like, why are they fucking around with him?
It's passed him by. I mean, he is not on the level of Ospreay.
No. Not at all.
At this point, is he on the level of Danielson?
No.
Is he on the level of Cassidy?
I mean, that's...
Because he's in a comedy tag team, a trios team, and fighting another comedy trios team for three belts, six belts that don't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why. Like, potentially, yes, he's better than Orange Cassidy.
And keep in mind, the belts they're holding aren't even the AEW belts.
Yeah, they're not. They don't even really count. yeah, I don't know, man. That's a tough question because I really like this guy.
I do, I thought he had potential, but they brought in Okada. Is he on the level of Okada at this stage?
I don't want to say that they've made a mistake just yet. Like, I'm not there.
Oh, man.
But I would, another 6 months or so, I might change my mind.
I'd be laying awake in my bed if I was him a lot going, man, I enjoy the money. But how much do I enjoy that money?
Yeah. So I believe this next one has something to do with the main event. You said AEW has to build its shows backwards.
If we pay attention to how their ratings go, they start off strong because they have the Big Bang lead in, gets them 1 million-plus viewers. By the time the show ends, it's borderline. They have lost viewers throughout the entire show. So they have to put on their main event first without calling it a main event. It is the best part of their show, and it goes downhill from there.
They've done it before. They've put things at the start that should have been the main event. They've put it because they used to do it. I was like, well, why the fuck wasn't this the last thing of the night?
They have to put Will Ospreay on first because that's where they're going to get the most eyes on Will Ospreay, right, with the hope that Will Ospreay will keep people throughout to the end. And so far, it's not working because everything after that is not anywhere close to what the intro generally is.
That's a good question. They brought Mercedes Moné in at the end of the show last night.
Yeah, sure did. They brought her in the middle, too.
Yeah. I wondered what your reaction was going to be to the fact that she's going after...
Mid-card title.
The mid-card title. Because that's not what I thought they would do. I thought they would have her in that match with Toni Storm.
Nope.
Seems odd, but...
Thunder Rosa.
Maybe that's what she wanted to do.
Here's what makes me...
Because she's got her own fucking locker room and everything. I guess you saw that, right?
I did not. But yeah, that explains, the mentality she's coming in with. But also her music, those chants, when the music ends, those chants end too. That ain't the crowd. That's the music. Yeah. AEW has not bought into her.
Yeah, not yet.
And
I've got to think at this point, though, that it was her idea to do the thing with Willow, because they had the match in New Japan, right, where she got injured. And I'm just thinking maybe this is it. Or because if Willow happens to beat, that's the stipulation, right? If Willow beats Julia at Dynasty, then Mercedes wants to come after her, is what she said last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Thunder and Toni Storm will be a good match.
I don't know. After the match that we got at the end of Dynamite, it was not the good.
Yeah. I mean, you might be onto something. Like, maybe they do need to start. Their main events lately have not been main event. I'm sure there's been a couple in there that I'm not thinking about.
But think about it. That was the main event show. That wrestling... The Thunder Rosa versus Mariah May for the number one contendership,
which was not a bad match.
Was their main event?
Yeah,
and I get why they ended with the swerve,
Joe
promo stuff. That's your contract signing.
Yeah,
you're gonna do the blood. You're gonna do the scene. That is a good closing argument. But you had, the way they built that show, you had the Ospreay match, which was, to me, the best match they had that night. You had Danielson versus Lance Archer, which, when you just did a scrappy underdog versus a powerhouse, doing a second scrappy underdog versus a powerhouse who's not as good as the powerhouse you just put on before,
right,
is not the proper placement there. Yeah. And then you had the tag team match, which, it's an AEW tag team match, so... It just, like I said, it just kept rolling further and further down. but it's, I don't know. It's such a, I very much understand the you sent us the tweet feed of, I forget who it was. We're talking about the two different styles of matches that are put on between WWE and AEW, how AEW tries to put on the best wrestling show. What are the best matches we can put on? And WWE is, how do we get our stars to be there? And there, I get that there's a middle ground there, but the fact that they are not separating any of their stars from anybody else. If you look at the rankings, they have your world title, your TNT title, your continental title, and whatever the fourth title is. They're all ranked in that one little group. There is nothing that separates your biggest title from your FTW title at this stage. There is no separation.
Yeah.
That, in theory, Hook is just as important as Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
And that's not even getting into the garbage that was the Jericho signal the Hook light so we can have a partnership garbage.
Yeah. It, somebody, there was a tweet last night. I should have sent it to you guys. Something about some guy talking about how not over Jericho is right now.
They booed him right there.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that he's trying desperately to get this kid over, or maybe he's trying to get over via the kid, but either way, no, thank you. I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. Send that back to the chef.
Yeah. Wouldn't hurt my feelings. I think that's it for Dynamite. Did you get all that you wanted to about the Punk interview in? Because I guess that's AEW related. Or was there
more? There's two Punk interviews this week that I watched. One, obviously, is the one the internet is all worked up about how Tony isn't a good businessman, which, you know, whatever. I hear he's a nice guy, but seeing how the show works, I think he's pretty much.
I did think it was interesting that the way he talked about it, he was like, you're there to put on good matches and to be entertaining, not to sell tickets and merchandise, is basically what he said about Tony Khan. And he was like, as long as it's Tony, he's like, and then the Ariel asked him if he thought AEW would be in business in 10 years or whatever he said. And Punk said, they'll be in business as long as Tony wants them to be in business.
I would agree with that statement.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how long that is, but I agree with what, comparing these two conversations to CM Punk when he's saying that, Edge saying how he loves all wrestling, and you know, I agree, all wrestling is important. Having AEW is important because it makes it so people have jobs where they can sustain themselves. Mm-hmm. Mind you, we had a bunch of cuts this week, first time for AEW. And
I mean, no. I mean, I guess that's been it one time, yeah.
I mean, everything else has been contract has expired.
Yeah.
This was active cuts.
Yeah. Which they've already rehired Anthony Henry.
Oh, the outrage and got him back, huh?
Well, yeah, and part of it too was this is what I wanted to say, is that people were like, oh, how could he do that while he was injured? And I was like, how do you know Tony hasn't like paid for his, he paid for the surgery. Who was a dude in Aussie Open that wasn't Kyle Fletcher? Like, before he signed his contract with AEW, Tony paid for his surgery because they were about to sign this contract.
This goes back to, I don't know if Tony knows who he's got and what's condition and what. This goes back to he wanted to book in theory Miro and Keith Lee into a meat match.
Neither of them were there.
And neither of them there. Both of them injured. Does he know?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't. Maybe not.
That was the other thing that, going back to that garbage match of Jay White and
Daddy Ass.
Stop repeating yourself. You don't. You just did a home invasion angle.
Yeah, that seemed weird to me. I was like,
And this one is less important because his kids went in with him. They should have keys.
Yeah, they know where the key is, or they either already have one.
Which means that, are we getting a Daddy Ass is going to join them and turn on the Acclaimed? Don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah.
But it's those repetition things that they have so many things that just, it's like they're going to the well that worked for them once, just in minor doses, and it's It's not. But I was saying there was two CM Punk interviews.
Yeah.
They WWE released a video, like a backstage conversation. It was Punk and Randy Orton sitting down watching their WrestleMania match back from, 2011 or something. And it's hilarious just because, you know, they're trying to figure out how much they hate each other at any given moment. And but they're bonding and having a good time. But they start talking about how the things that they do in the matches, they are doing them in such as it came out of Orton talking about how he's wrestled his same style forever. And some people love it. Some people hate it. But the fact that he's been doing that forever, now that he's older and slowing down a little bit, it hasn't changed. He's doing less with more to get over those little things and the caring of the stories. And I think that goes back to that tweet you were sent us about how that is to me what's missing with AEW is the fact that they are trying to just do so much so fast. You miss those moments of caring. And that's why that first match, it was slowed down from what an AEW match was.
Yeah. I mean, or at least an Ospreay match.
And I cared more.
Because Danielson's matches are not what you would think of as a typical AEW match.
But he's fighting people I don't care about at this stage. Lance Archer, I mean, Powerhouse Hobbs is a jobber at this stage. Mind you, he's more over than he's got more wins than most jobbers there.
Sure.
But Lance Archer, if Lance Archer won a match, I would be like, what the hell world are we living
in? Which is funny because when it showed his stats, it was like 62-15 or some shit like that. And I was like, are they sure he's only lost? Because it feels like he's lost way more than
can you name a match he won?
I mean, it's been a while now.
Because I don't think I've seen one. Yeah. But he's evidently won, 62 of them.
He did have a bunch of fucking squash matches year. When he started. No. I'm talking about when he started during the pandemic.
Yeah, definitely not this year. But that match went 17 minutes almost. It didn't even need to go 10.
I'm kind of with you. That in terms of that being one of Danielson's matches, I was like, is this one he really wanted?
And I get that that's the dream matches. And I love that they're having these various dream matches. Cardona versus Edge, first time ever. Great. Ospreay versus Hobbs, first time ever. Great. Lance Archer and Daniel Bryan, first time ever. Great. I'm glad they're all having those matches they all dreamed of and wanting. Cool. But It's not engrossing. It doesn't make me want to sit there and stay tuned for what's next.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I thought the show was pretty good, but I don't know. I'm with you on that Archer Danielson match. The Hobbs one was good. The Battle of the Wills was an interesting title.
And I guess, that got, God help him, because Bully Ray can't shut up about how different things is. But he said he was kind of talking the same kind of similar point about how if when Kenny Omega or the Bucks do anything, it's not a one time. They're going to pull that V trigger. It's three or four times that they're pulling that V trigger. And at that point, it's not over.
Right.
If you only have to do it one time, but whatever. Different styles.
Yeah, let's get into Raw. I think I don't remember some of this. The only thing that I made the note on was Drew McIntyre's funeral for CM Punk's match.
Yes.
At Mania, which was fucking brilliant.
It was. I enjoyed, for him not being there, that was a solid way to get him to talk shit to everybody.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say because we've been singing Drew's praises for several weeks at this point, but I was fucking cackling.
How did he look into my eyes? What do you see? And I was like, is he going to do the whole song though, man?
Come on. I was like, oh, this shit is good.
And I love it. It's because it's making, again, when it feels like it's real, when it feels like it's personal, when it has meaning behind all these barbs that they're throwing and what have you,
I love it more.
Oh, and we haven't talked about this either because we haven't recorded since, but we did talk last week about the promo between the three of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Drew and Punk and Seth, and how that felt a little personal. And then, you know, the report came out a couple of days later that, like, most of that, like, they told them, hey, you guys are going to go do this. And they had a couple of guidelines, but it was mostly like, just do what you want, right?
And yet,
it felt that way.
And yet nobody, we haven't gotten a report of anybody not punching or just choking anybody just a little.
There were, you know, they said that they handled it well backstage afterward, but they're, you know, like.
That's the difference between management. I mean, if you, when you have strong management.
Yeah.
Versus the let's have everybody's dream match kind of management.
That's the only note I made. You've got a few other notes, and maybe I'll remember them.
So we had the tag match. It was New Day versus DIY versus somebody, and I don't even remember, and the Judgment Day. So we had the spot where Gargano dives out, but he dives so far that he bounces his head off the announce table, cue to Gargano never coming back into the ring. The tag match itself was good, but what noted to me here is, and you know, I was hoping Patrick would talk crap about this, but that match ends when Priest does finishing moves on three different teams to win. So it's that slow build of trying to rehab him from a place where we don't care by showing him being that former Superman that they built him as when he won the stupid briefcase.
I do remember we were watching Friday night and Jamie said, he still got that stupid fucking briefcase.
Yes. Man, yep. Like I said, you know. But I wanted to hear Patrick say, nope, too late, don't care. But they're trying. They're starting that build.
We'll see. And then Ricochet versus, was it Ivar?
Yes. I don't remember. He must be a Packers fan, the way he manhandled that Viking. Where, what was it? Ivar comes barreling into him to do like a crossbody. Ricochet catches his ass, curls him. And then slams him. I mean, you don't
Ricochet
expect...
Ricochet is otherworldly, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I love me some Ricochet. He has a style that is not as widely used in WWE as he would be used somewhere else, I think. I think he could definitely... If you're talking about dream matches, I want that. I remember the Ricochet-Will Ospreay match. Great gymnastic match, great acrobatics, whatever. I'd like to see them now to see, you know, how far they've come now that they both kind of have
matured.
Yeah. So I like Ricochet. I'm glad to see that they're kind of building him.
Yeah, I do too. I like watching him.
I think he might, you know, be who they're looking at toward when Gunther's time ends.
Putting it back on him. Interesting. Okay, so we've got The Rock opening and ending as well.
You tweeted or texted us about this, about how it took, you sent just random numbers and I'm going, I don't know what the hell this is.
Yeah, but it was like
4 minutes, 33 seconds and 0.212.
Yeah, it was a screenshot of my stopwatch on my phone. Cause when his music hit, I grabbed my phone and turned my stopwatch on. I was like, I just want to see how long it takes him to say something. And it was over 4 minutes.
And this is my beef with, this is why I kind of zoned out on SmackDown and just did the highlights on it, because it, I agree. Y'all have been saying for a while, it takes too long to get anywhere, but this is WrestleMania season, which means that, like I just said with Gargano, he is in a match at WrestleMania and he, you know, nearly took himself out. They are going to do what they can to not put their performers into positions where they aren't at WrestleMania.
Yeah. I wondered about that, about how they'll handle Saturday night. Cause we've talked about, we think it'll be a bloodbath Saturday night for the final match with Roman and The Rock versus Cody and Seth. And I was like, what if Cody does get injured?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, you know, they're trying to, Cody's taken some beatings these last couple nights, but he hasn't really been in a match. And that's fine. But at the same time, it can, when you're filling those shows with those long ass entrances and stuff, and it's 3 hours. Yeah. It's, it makes a show kind of
boring.
Yeah. And I'm full on with you. I'm full on with you there. So you had him open. You had Seth come in to piss off Roman via the Shield entrance. You got the kid sitting there with his cell phone up Seth Rollins' nose. Oh, my God. Nose.
Jesus, yeah.
Did you see the video?
I have.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Looks amazing, but not from his angle, yes. From our angle, not so much.
I was watching it, and I was like, what in the fuck is it? Like, this kid just have zero clue about personal space.
None.
And then I saw the video and I was like, I can't say that I wouldn't have done the fucking same thing.
But I mean, the promos, I mean, Roman did his thing of, hey, y'all don't like me? I mean, The Rock came out, he was half over. Yeah. That, I mean, that's still a problem. If he's your bad guy, he shouldn't be getting the pops that he's getting. But once Cody gets involved, They go down, which is a good sign.
He still gets a plenty of Rocky sucks chance.
Mm-hmm. So you get them talking, get Roman doing his, you know, trying to step up. He's still not up to the level of The Rock. But again, I don't think that's a completely bad thing, because I think that builds the story further down the road. What killed that segment was the fact that they basically repeated the same thing three times of, you're not going to fight me, you're not going to fight him. Okay, well, you're not going to fight me, you're not going to fight him. And then Solo steps up and says, yeah, you're not fighting him, you're not fighting him, you're fighting me. At that point, that should have been the first thing you did. If that was what you were going to be, his ass should have stepped up and been like, no, it's me. Because the crowd deflated at that point, yeah, because that it took point. Too long to get there. And then the payoff wasn't that great.
Yeah, we knew he wasn't going to fight The Rock, right? We knew he wasn't going to fight Roman. Anything else than that is a fucking letdown. So
you might as well have him be like, you should, if you want him to be the bad guy and you want them to be booed, when you make it so one of those two looks like they're going to accept and he steps in and be like, no, I'm ruining y'all's event for tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, they did it their way and it just deflated. It went, you could hear the wah, 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 wah.
Sad trombone.
But they make up for it at the end there.
Yeah.
They whoop that boy's ass.
So we've got a whole bunch of matches to run down for Mania. I say let's go ahead and run through those. We don't have to spend much time on them. But give your winner and any crazy predictions you may have.
I've already told you my crazy prediction, but I've been sitting on that one for a month or so now here. But you want to start on night one?
Yeah, let's do one. And we'll just this. I found this on Bleacher Report, and then I'm it looks like I know they're not in any sort of order, but they have The Rock and Roman versus Cody and Seth listed first.
I think we're all in agreement that The Rock and Roman go over so that we get the bloodline rules to make this even more dramatic.
Jamie asked me the other night, she said, what does bloodline rules mean? I said, I think it just basically means there are no rules.
Yep, that's my take too.
Right? Because they keep saying that, like we're supposed to fucking know.
The same thing went for in that documentary of the Firefly Funhouse match. You're in it. Okay, great. What is it? Don't know.
And then the Women's World Championship, Rhea versus Becky.
Who you thinking?
I think Rhea retains.
I'm with you. Rhea all the way.
Yeah, you've done a great job with her in the last year. I think it'll be a great match.
Becky doesn't need it. Rhea, this would cement Rhea's ability to be the main event star. Sure.
And I think we even discussed last week, it's almost a passing of the torch.
Mm-hmm. Right? To quote the one of the lines from that CM Punk Randy Orton thing, this match should be one lady goes over, the other one gets over.
Yeah. And I don't think Becky's done by any stretch, but it does seem like it's...
But it puts Rhea on her level.
Sure. Yeah. Intercontinental Championship, Gunther versus Sammy.
I'm sticking with Gunther. I think that's why you don't have Chad Gable in there.
Yeah, it hurts my feelings to say that, but I think you're right. I would love to see Sammy And I think it was interesting they brought Chad in to be his coach last week. And those were interesting segments. I didn't put them in the notes, but, you know, they feel a little overproduced sometimes and a little overacted, but they were still a nice touch, I thought.
I mean, the beatdown that Gunther came out and gave Sammy on Raw during that Bronson Reed match, I mean, I loved it.
Brutal as shit, just dragging him by one fucking leg. Yeah,
like a dead man. But Sammy sold it. And that's what makes Sammy Sammy, is the fact that he just got his ass whipped and he's not popping up immediately to undersell the beating. I mean, it took him 5 or 6 hip thrusts to get his ass up.
Yeah, that's why you have him in like Mania matches.
Like a goddamn turtle.
He's just a solid worker. I think Jey Uso goes over Jimmy.
100%, because that's going to be your first contender versus your championship winner.
Right. 6-pack ladder match for undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. Judgment Day versus the Awesome Truth versus DIY versus a New Day versus New Catch Republic versus A-Town Down. This one, I feel like they want to get them off the Judgment Day.
Yep.
Right. And we've talked about how they could possibly split the titles, right, with R-Truth.
And new champion, R-Truth and The Miz, and A-Town Down.
Oh, no.
I think that's what, because R-Truth is going to get up there. He's going to get the first belt. He's going to claim 2 belts, probably the same color. He's going to jump down, be celebrating, walk off, because he's got them. He's good. He's golden. Miz is going to try to talk him back into it. By that point, it's too damn late. Yeah. And I think you need it to be a villain group on the other side.
Yeah. At this point, I'd rather see New Catch Republic, because as I stated earlier, Pete Dunne is one of my favorites.
But I think there's the money's in the chase.
Sure. Sure. I won't argue that, but I can be mad at it.
Oh, yeah. But I think that leads to the eventual breakup of that tag team when they eventually lose the belts.
You're talking about
A-Town?
Waller? Yeah.
They
won't keep
down
them
under.
Together very long.
No. But I think that gives them a little bit of a shine while also giving the other teams some place to go after, but also furthers that story of they're working together, but it's slowly falling apart because they can't get past each other.
Sure. Bianca Belair, Naomi, and Jade Cargill versus Damage Control.
You know, I don't understand this match.
I honestly didn't realize it had been made official.
I don't.
Until this very minute.
There's no way Damage Control wins.
No, I don't think so.
But they're also the tag team champions. So why are they in a 3-person match, not for the titles?
Hmm. Good question. Lastly is Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. Did you see the tweet? Somebody was like, it was a picture of Ray with all of the guys lined up behind him and then Dragon Lee. And then it was like Carlito was like kind of giving him a side eye. And he was like, no wonder all these motherfuckers turn on Ray Mysterio.
Yeah. So I think, you know, Santos and Dominic go over.
Yeah, probably so.
You got to have some downside.
I don't have much stock in this match as it is. Anyway.
This is a weird one because
it just seems kind of thrown together.
If you have been building to the LWO versus the LDF,
then why bring in somebody from
why are those the dudes that are in there not in there?
Yeah, I mean that's a good question. I cannot answer. Night 2, WrestleMania, undisputed WWE Universal Championship. All right, Reigns versus Cody. I think it's Cody.
Here's where
if it doesn't
let's start from the bottom, work the top
okay.
on that one.
Yeah.
So I can disappoint you at the end.
Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits versus the Final Testament. Nobody cares about this match.
I want to care, but
I do not.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I figure Lashley and the Street Profits have to go over, but I figure it's a DQ.
This is going to be a fun night, looking ahead at this card.
Mm-hmm.
LA Knight versus AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is LA Knight, while he is not for championship, I think this is one of those matches where they are using to let him prove himself against some of those
big
names in order to get that next step.
Yeah. And, you know, AJ can put him over.
And it will put him into an area where whoever has that title next, he can be there.
United States Championship triple threat, Logan Paul versus Randy Orton versus KO.
Like I said, I think Paul walks out champion still.
I think you're right. I don't like it, but I think you're right.
This is probably the night that has the most title changes to me.
Yeah, Bayley will go over EO, right?
Yep, that's my thought too, because that's the payoff match.
She'll be full face at this point.
Yep. McIntyre goes over Seth Rollins is my thought on that one.
Yeah, I think it's time.
Which then puts, like I said, Jay versus him as your first feud that gets you into your CM Punk feud come summertime.
Yeah, and Seth has been a great fighting champion.
Yep, but he needs let that man rest some.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we've got the draft coming up at some point.
Oh, true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think that'll be nice for Drew. Sorry, my water bottle is going haywire over here. And that'll be a fun match, I think. You know, there's a lot going into this match between them. It's been a nice build-up. And I think it's time for Drew.
Yep. Let him have his and they're doing Clash in the Castle again.
Yeah, I won't be mad at that. And then Cody versus Roman.
And new. And new.
Yeah.
Because you got Cody's going to win. I think Cody's going to win, but Cody doesn't walk out with the title.
You still think Priest is going to cash in?
I still think Cody does not leave with the title, which puts Priest then on SmackDown. LA Knight in that position. You've got Jay can do whatever. Cody can bounce between because he's essentially the John Cena of this bitch now.
Okay, here's the way I'm trying to figure it out from the story standpoint. It would make more sense to me to have Cody win, carry the title for a while. You know, the thing his dad never got to do, so on and so forth. I'm trying to grasp your side of it.
It's a great story, isn't it?
If he wins, doesn't leave. I'm trying to just wrap my head around that.
But he gets the win.
Because what, Dusty had it for 10 seconds?
Dusty had it for roughly 10 seconds.
I was trying to explain that to Jamie and Carter the other night, and I didn't realize that it was via count out. And I was trying to tell them the story. I was like, Dusty only had the title for like a few seconds. I was like, Steven's got this idea that Cody's going to have it for the exact same amount of time somehow.
Get it taken away from him.
Then we watched the documentary a couple days later, and I was like, oh, he was... The count out thing.
Yep. So if he wins the title, he wins the title. But that briefcase, they're building Priest up. It's. I mean, if he does not cash it in on that night, it will only be a short time before he does.
And here's the thing: it's you have a valid point because Cody is going to get the shit beat out of him Saturday night and Sunday night. Because we know all hell's going to break loose Sunday.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. He'll eat his little celebratory Reese's peanut butter cup and get his ass whooped.
I thought you were going to say he's going to be eating a muffin at the press conference.
Oh, that would be hilarious too.
Be like, I'm old and I'm tired and I work with fucking children.
Wouldn't that be classic? I mean, just to have him. Oh man! But I am 100% on board with what Patrick has been selling as far as Stone Cold being back. I wasn't up until
that thing.
John Cena is going to be there. Dustin is going to be there.
Listen, here's the thing: if the music hits Sunday night and Dusty's music hits instead of Cody's. Ain't no way. He's got to walk out with that fucking title. I will yell and I will scream and I will disrupt my neighbors.
But that's the nature of the game, ain't it? Is to get, it doesn't matter.
If that's the case, we know that Triple H still holds a grudge.
But no, that's the thing. I think I 100% believe what Cody Rhodes said in his promo the other day about how he's the guy who's owned the throne is on his side. But the guy who owns the throne also knows that the story never ends. And that pushes that next chapter of, okay, you won it, but you didn't, your story didn't finish. You still have to do more.
Yeah.
And, you know, he will be champion. But it gives that, I don't know. But hey, maybe I'm just being an asshole. And, you know, I mean, it could be worse. Roman can win, right?
The idea of that crossed my mind yesterday. And my blood pressure, I could feel it shoot up. I was like, oh, God.
which do you hate more?
That. Because at least there would be some sort of story with the Damian Priest thing, right?
Yeah. Because Roman's going away.
If Roman does it, yeah, it's like, well, we won't see him for another fucking 3 months. And then The Rock's off TV for sure, like May through August.
But that gives you a month of The Rock.
Jesus Christ.
But I think we're going to get some debuts of some more Bloodline people. I am eagerly, eagerly, eagerly hoping that we get a Jacob Fatu, because the Samoan werewolf is...
I mean, he's out there, right? But would they just throw him into it without... That's basically what they did with Solo, right? Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he signed with somebody who is nowhere near who I would think that he would be able to sign with.
Yeah.
But...
I know he was doing some GCW stuff for a while, right?
Yeah.
And we know Cody just extended his contract.
Yep. And we know that Tonga is out there. I mean, he's already been signed. That's a given.
Yeah.
Now, do they debut two people at the same time? I don't know. But what you have to worry about is Jacob Fatu is a better bruiser than Solo Sikoa. So there is that. Yeah. Maybe they don't want Fatu because Sikoa is what they've built his position for. But yeah. I love me some Samoan werewolf.
I will say I honestly know zero about him.
Oh, he had a sweet run with MLW. Where he was doing basically a terrorist faction called Contra. And it was him versus Alex Hammerstone, who I still don't get how he has not made it into the WWE developmental at the very least, just because he has the damn look that they have always looked for.
Hmm.
But they had a long, long run story that was... I mean, for being like those kind of indie show kind of stuff.
Sure.
I mean, mainstream indie show, but it was a solid story.
So I may actually try to watch the next NXT.
So you get a full day.
That's
Saturday.
Fuck.
That's 10:30 on Saturday.
I don't want to watch the whole thing. I just want to see Carmelo versus Trick.
That Trick, right?
Yeah.
I think
both of those big dudes, from what I've seen of them, both of those dudes will be in WWE within the next
year.
See,
that's the thing. NXT, the takeovers have always been better than Manias, 100%. So now there are no takeovers anymore. This is now stand and deliver. But that match card, I mean, it's...
I don't know. I don't really know anybody. I probably know some names of the people in there, but...
You've got the Wolf Dogs. So that's Braun Strowman and Baron Corbin are your tag team champions down there.
Strowman is back?
I'm sorry. Did
Breaker.
I say Breaker. Braun Breaker.
Okay.
Braun Breaker. So they are defending against Axum and Nathan Frazier. So it's, you know, your powerhouses versus your little speedy guys, which should be a solid match because Braun is good at what he does.
Sure.
And Corbin has found himself again. He's out of that happy Corbin kind of garbage that he was doing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's a plus. You got Ilja versus Tony D'Angelo. And Ilja, like I said, go back and watch that NXT UK stuff to see where Pete Dunne cut his teeth in WWE. And you'll get to see Ilja versus Walter. I guess it was still Gunther, but just to see those two, I mean, Ilja, he's a badass.
Yeah.
He is what you would like in wrestling in WWE, I think. You got Sean Spears versus Joe Gacy, which is a stupid thing. It's a throwaway one. Oba, Fema, Dijak, and Josh Briggs. Dijak is another one of those dudes that, because he was in such a shit gimmick for a while, he was in the slapjack thing, Mace, and whatever the hell that thing was called. The Anarchy group that came out with a mask.
Yeah.
That was a steaming turd. But he is he is better than what he was put into. So there's like a, and then you got the Mellow Hayes.
So that'll be the main event.
Yeah, the Mellow and Williams is your main event. They've already said that.
So I might turn it on about 12:30.
Yeah, seven matches on there is what it is.
One then. Well, no, they got 30 minutes between matches.
But, I don't know.
Maybe they don't in NXT.
NXT is a tighter show.
Okay.
It is a tighter show. You got the six-woman tag match, which I'm not... It's
well, okay. If you happen to be watching it live and you see that it's coming up,
yeah,
just holler because I'm not doing shit Saturday.
But I think this is the one that will put Mello onto the main roster for good for right now, yeah. and let Trick do some fun stuff down there. But both of them are ready to be on main.
Yeah. I think that covers us for the week then, right?
And then but if you're doing that, you're 10:30, assume about 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
Get a break. 6 o'clock starts your Mania day one.
Yeah, I'm excited. My wife has put together a surprise menu, wrestling themed, and nice. I don't know any of what's going. I know there's a chicken wing involved at some point, either night one or night two, but she's very excited about it, and I'm excited about just doing nothing all week except watching wrestling.
Did I send you that clip? Just jumping back to The Rock and Cody. Did I send you the secondary clip of him whipping his ass outside by the bus?
Yeah, I'd seen it.
I showed that to my wife, and she was just that. She's like, I'm excited about this stuff now, but just The Rock cutting. You know, we're clear. Fuck you. We ain't done. Just because your script says done, I ain't done whipping this boy's ass. Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty funny.
But yeah, I mean, you're 6 hours for the first night, I would assume.
It's gonna be a long night,
and then you're starting at 10:30. You got your collision hours.
Listen, libations will start around 5:30 or 6 at my apartment. So I will be in no state to start anything by the end of Mania. I will watch Collision Sunday morning with a cup of coffee. Maybe a biscuit or something.
And a big hangover.
Huh? And probably a hangover. We'll see. I don't get those much these days because I know where to stop. But she's making specialty drinks, and I don't know how to gauge those. I know where to go with my bourbon. I know exactly how much I can drink and not be hungover the next morning.
I don't have the menu laid out like you do, but I know we're going to be...
I think it's fruity drinks or something, so there may be a sugar hangover there the next morning.
Oh, see, those ones that get you, because you don't, it masks that taste.
Yeah.
It sneaks up on you.
Right. So we'll see. But yeah, I'm super excited. And next week, like I said, we'll have a huge episode. There'll be a lot of wrestling to cover from the weekend. You know, obviously two nights of Mania, Collision. The Monday after Raw will be big. We will talk to you guys then. Oh, one last thing, our plugs for our network. We are part of a network called the Alabama Take. You can go to the alabamatake.com and find all of our other fellow podcasters with TV podcasts, book podcasts, Star Wars podcasts, music podcasts, lots of stuff happening over there. I think I said TV, right? Go there. New podcasts almost every day of the week. And be sure to follow us on Instagram and Threads @AlabamaSlamPod. And we will talk to y'all next week.